Our next case is Reeves versus Reeves. I believe both counsel are live and in the courtroom. So Reeves versus Reeves. Mr. Jansen, whenever you're ready, you may proceed.
Esteemed judges of the Nebraska Court of Appeals, I am Wayne Jansen. I'm appearing on behalf of the appellant, Sean Reeves. We begin by reaffirming all of appellant's briefs that are filed herein. The trial court focused on its perception that appellant lacked credibility. In fact, it spent the first few pages of its decision trying to justify that. And I think our briefs show that that justification was not correct. But that perception is not justified. The perception resulted in the court ignoring valid evidence. It ignored the independent existence of Kinetic Systems, Inc. It ignored official state records that showed that the corporation was incorporated in 1996 and hard evidence of a one-half interest in that corporation in Colin McGuire.
The court Mr. Jansen, isn't that a different question here? What the trial court did in this case was just treat the corporation as an alter ego. It wasn't saying the corporation didn't exist or wasn't properly incorporated or anything along those lines. It just used the doctrine for purposes of dissolution that those assets could be treated as assets of the marriage. Didn't award any of those assets to Mrs. Reeves, but considered them in the equalization of the marital estate. Isn't that a distinction?
No, I don't believe it is. I mean, it may have been in the mind of the court, but it's not a legal distinction. The fact of the matter is the cases that were cited in to justify that and dealt with cases where there were no other stockholders. There was no actual business that was being performed. And the fact that it was a true alter ego in the sense that it provided all of the necessary property, housing, cars, etc. One of those cases dealt with a religious organization that had no other stockholders. In this case, there is another stockholder. This was in business before the marriage, and it was a valid corporation. Since it was in existence before, it's not possible to just ignore it and walk away because he was the person in control of the corporation. By Nebraska statute, he only did what he was allowed by statute. And you can't take that and turn it into a situation where, well, it's his alter ego. The cases that were cited are much more distinct than this case. This case involved another person who has an interest in those aircraft. And what you're doing here is you're basically saying, well, we're just going to count all that against you. We're making a judicial determination that those airplanes are yours and yours alone when that's not justified by the evidence.
Can we hold off for just a moment? Judge Reedman and Judge Bishop, are you seeing my picture again instead of Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've lost the courtroom.
Now he's back. Okay, thank you. Well, I wanted to see Mr. Jansen, so sorry about that glitch.
Okay. And not only that, but the appellee's counsel even stipulated that the airplanes were owned by the corporation. And then once we get to that, when we look at the what can be marital property in a corporation, it can be appreciation of the corporation and such, but it can't be just, well, we're just going to pluck this asset out. Because, in fact, those airplanes were half the property of Colin McGuire. Whatever the situation is on the active business at the time of trial of the corporation, whatever's left in the corporation is still half the property of Mr. McGuire.
And then, Mr. Jansen, what evidence is there in the record with regard to Mr. McGuire's actual involvement with the corporation? What was his most recent involvement with the corporation?
He's a stockholder. He doesn't have any involvement in the corporation other than being a stockholder.
Is there any evidence that he was notified regarding the airplane purchases?
He didn't have to be notified regarding the airplane purchases. The Nebraska statute specifically provides that the directors operate the business. It doesn't say they operate the business after they ask the stockholders. Anyone who owns stock in any company, any corporation, just the ownership of stock doesn't necessarily give them any rights to manage the current daily effects of the business.
Was there any evidence of any distribution made to Mr. McGuire as a stockholder?
Well, there was no event that would cause a distribution. The corporation was still in existence. It's in the process, or was in the process, of being moved to Georgia.
Mr. Jansen, what's the practical effect, though? As Judge Moore pointed out, the property was awarded as, you know, part of the marital estate, but awarded to your client. It's my understanding that your client had actually loaned the money to the corporation in order to buy the aircraft. So what's the practical implications as it relates to the partners or the shareholders?
Well, the one aircraft, the 421B, was in fact the subject of the loan from non-marital property to the corporation to purchase that airplane. So that, in fact, ends up with a situation that is kind of a wash. But the problem goes farther than that, because then we come to this flawed process of valuing the aircraft with Mr. Perry. Mr. Perry comes in and he says, well, that plane's not worth $75,000, it's worth $260,000. And he does that with a document that specifically says it's not an appraisal, okay? And he uses asking prices, not actual closed sales. And he lacked almost all of what he testified was the necessary information to make an appraisal. The non-appraisals that he had, they repeatedly comment that they're not appraisals. And it deals with a range of value. So not only do we have a situation where Colin McGuire owns half of these airplanes, but beyond that, the inflated value ends up with a situation that the appellant ends up with nothing. The appellee ends up with all of the marital and non-marital property, and the appellant is left penniless with $145,000 worth of equalization payment to make, plus alimony, plus attorney's fees and expert witness fees.
But he still has the aircraft. I mean, the aircraft was awarded to him.
He doesn't have the aircraft because the aircraft are owned by the corporation, and the corporation is owned 50-50 by Colin McGuire and the appellant. So he doesn't own that. And the values, as put out in the decree, are so far inflated. I mean, you can't have an appraisal that's based on nothing, but I just kind of think I'm going to say it's worth so many dollars.
But what I'm trying to understand is the argument basically of, well, this isn't fair to Mr. McGuire because he owns half of everything. But how is this even affecting him?
Well, I guess the issue really, they're taking, the court is in essence taking the property of Colin McGuire and giving it to the appellant. That's what he's doing. And in fact, the situation is that then the alternative is that the court has given appellant nothing, absolutely nothing. At best, half of what the actual value of the plane was, and that was $75,000 on its purchase, and the other plane, the 310R, was $33,000, not $160,000 or whatever the dollar figure was. The fact of the matter is, the way this plays out, the appellant gets nothing.
Was there evidence that that your client made improvements to those planes over the years? Modifications and improvements?
The evidence by Mr. Dennis Clark was that any equipment that was put into the plane, and again, it's not my client who was making any additions or subtractions from the aircraft. It would have been the corporation. But even then, any equipment that had been added had problems, and so they had to take it out. He testified that the 421B was a work in process. So there really isn't any value there. But I want to save some time for rebuttal, and so I'll leave it at that and renew our arguments made in the brief. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, may it please the court. My name is Terry Poppy, and I represent Brenda Reeves, now Brenda Culver. I want to initially point out that Judge Jacobson in this case had the patience of Job. He really did. The positions taken by the appellant, not only before the trial, during the trial, and in some respects today, the claims that he made, the maneuvering that he did, made this trial much longer and much more difficult than it had to be. Judge Jacobson recognized that in his decree, and he said in his decree that the appellant's gamesmanship, and that was his word, gamesmanship, made the appellant's credibility and his words so lacking. And that was so true. You know, there is nothing in Judge Jacobson's decree that isn't supported by the record. There is nothing in that decree that is an abuse of discretion. There are several assignments of errors. I can't touch on all of them. But the first, and the court has already asked questions about it, and the most critical one, I think, are the planes and kinetic systems, and they're intertwined. And as I was listening to the argument, I thought, okay, let's assume that you reverse Judge Jacobson and you say, well, we agree with the appellant. Here's the blueprint. Here's the blueprint. Before you get married, have your child own a share of stock from a previous relationship. One share of stock. And now put everything in the corporate name. And then come in and say, oh, there's another shareholder. None of this is marital. That's what the Medlock case and the other cases talk about. It is to prevent injustice and fraud. And the decision by Judge Jacobson to pierce the corporate veil and to say kinetic was an alter ego of the appellant is absolutely correct. Because look at the other shareholder. In the record, you'll see we hadn't heard from the other shareholder in 19 years, 2002. The appellant's own testimony. I am the board of directors. I don't answer to anybody. I decide my salary. I didn't declare any dividends. I had no communication with this other person. I decided we're going to buy planes. I decided we're going to move to Georgia. It's a classic case of somebody using a corporation to try and, quite frankly, defraud his spouse. And Judge Jacobson was totally correct on that.
Mr. Poppy, it did jump out at me looking at the valuation of the planes, the valuations adopted by the court in comparison to their purchase prices was significantly different. So could you please address that for us?
I can and I will. And I think there might have been some real estate at some point in time purchased in 2013. And here, 7 years later, look at the difference in value. But to address it specifically, Your Honor, first of all, Mr. Perry resided in Massachusetts. There were several attempts to try to get these planes appraised. And the testimony at trial was that from Ms. Reeves, Ms. Culver, was that he was going to bury everything in the corporation. So he does. He buys the planes. He titles them in Kinetic's name. We try to get the planes appraised. The last time that we tried to get them appraised, they were going to be in Lincoln on a Monday. This is the height of COVID. Mr. Perry, because of health reasons, doesn't want to fly. He's driving to Lincoln to appraise the planes. One of the associates in our office gets a call on a Saturday afternoon, a voice message. Oh, the planes aren't going to be in Lincoln. They're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, Monday morning now, we speak with Mr. Perry after we really realize this. He's on his way to Nebraska. He comes to Nebraska. We do the best that we can for Judge Jacobson. He does an analysis. He's 40 years in the industry. He has appraised claims before. He has done analysis before. And he talks about windows that these planes are worth, or that these planes fit in. And Judge Jacobson allowed that evidence incorrectly, received it correctly. And what the evidence shows is that there's a window that these Cessnas fall in. Now, when Mr. Reeves purchased the planes 8 and 5 years earlier, as I recall, there were some liens, and there was a big issue about the liens, huge issue about the liens. Perhaps that impacted the value of those planes, number one, 5 or 8 years ago. But what happened and what the testimony at trial was that for 5 and 8 years, these million-dollar liens, no cards, no letters, no demands, no lawsuits, no phone calls, no nothing from those banks. Not one time did they ever attempt to collect any sort of lien. And finally, we were able to and had to get an FAA blue ribbon report that showed those liens are of no are of no value whatsoever. The other thing I would point out is that those planes were serviced by Duncan Aviation. There were improvements done to the planes. They were serviced. They flew them personally. And so I don't know what happened when he bought the planes. What I do know is that the only testimony that Judge Jacobson had was that I'm an expert. I deal in this. This is the window these planes fit in. And it was totally proper for Judge Jacobson to accept that. You know, Mr. Reeves had every opportunity for 4 years to go get an appraisal. He flew the planes around. He knew where they were. He knew where they were going to be. His first test, when he initially testified, his testimony was, I don't have an opinion as to value. What happens after that? Here comes Mr. Perry. Here comes his opinion. And now Mr. Reeves has a different idea. But there's nothing else in the record for the judge, quite frankly, to look at that's credible. And for Mr. Reeves to come in and say, well, you shouldn't have accepted that. Well, Mr. Reeves, where have you been for 4 years? I can only surmise why he didn't get an expert opinion.
Well, I assume the reason he didn't think valuation of the planes was necessary was because of his position, they're not marital assets.
Well, and if that's a risk you're going to take, then you're going to live with that result, quite frankly. But those planes and another Kinetic-owned piece of equipment, a tractor. This is a software company. I guess every software company needs a farm tractor. You know, he buys a tractor, places it in the corporate name, tells Judge Jacobson it's not a marital asset, sits out on our farm. We use it, but Ms. Culbra has no right to have any of that.
So, Mr. Poppy, were corporate tax returns made available? Was there a way to identify the planes within the corporate tax returns and the tractor that you just mentioned?
I'm trying to recollect for sure, Justice Bishop. I believe that those corporate tax returns, if they appeared from the time the trial started, perhaps the end of the trial, they were not available and had not been prepared. And it was maybe at the 11th hour. I don't know for sure, but you know, and trying to get information from the corporation. I mean, we had to take 3 depositions of Mr. Reeves. In the first deposition, it's, well, you didn't subpoena me as an officer of the corporation. I'm just here to talk about the divorce. Okay, so we have to go through that. And in fact, he took that position in the trial in front of Judge Jacobson. Mr. Poppy can't ask me questions about Connecticut. He didn't subpoena me here as president of Connecticut.
Didn't Judge Jacobson agree on the deposition issue of, yes, if you want him to testify as a corporate employee, then you need to do it the correct way as with the third party?
Yes, he did. But it just goes back to my point that, you know, does it really have to be this way? I mean, this is the way that we get two people divorced. I set up this corporation. I don't even know where that other shareholder is. I haven't talked with him in 19 years. And this stuff that I put in the corporation, you have no right to it. It doesn't have to be like that. Those were marital assets. That corporate veil was pierced, and it should have been pierced. There is no abuse of discretion. Judge Jacobson saw these people for 4 days, and he was spot on. And we would ask it to be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I believe Mr. Jansen has approximately 39 seconds.
Yes, I will try to be fast. Nebraska Statute 21-2078 says that the operation of the corporation is by the directors. The appraisal exhibit 138 was not allowed into evidence. It was an offer of sale, public offer of sale of a similar airplane for $79,000, well outside any basis that Mr. Perry put in. The appraisal of the airplanes, there is no appraisal of the airplanes, not from Mr. Perry for sure. The fact of there's a tractor in Iron Gate, I mean, tractor in this thing, I think the testimony was it was in Iron Gate, and the corporate tax returns were subpoenaed for the last day of trial, but Mr. Poppy never asked for them and never offered them into evidence. We ask that you go along with our arguments and appropriately divide the property between the parties. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. The case is submitted and counsel is excused. And that concludes our arguments for January. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You.